you know, share their story and all that. And I have a little handout. They have a nice display on our info center that you guys should go check out. And I have one of the papers here. I'm just going to give you a little idea about who are these people that are going to come and talk to us, okay? So Mike and Dara Rasavan, they're missionaries to Thailand. After the Vietnam War, both Mike and Dara Rasavan left their war-torn homeland of Laos, both as teenagers, and came to the United States as refugees. Returning to Asia was not part of their plan until they met Jesus Christ, who changed their lives forever. In 1996, with the support of First Church of the Open Bible of Des Moines, Iowa, Mike and Dara planted the first Asian Open Bible Church, now called Life Song Church of the Open Bible. After Mike and Dara raised their family in America, they continued to feel the call to minister to the lost in Asia. In 2007, God opened the doors of Cambodia so that both Life Song Church and Global Missions could partner to launch the Life Song Learning Center in Cambodia. Now the Lord has called Mike and Dara to go back to their homeland and bring the good news of Jesus Christ to the fields of Asia, which include Vietnam, Laos, Cambodia, Thailand, and Myanmar. So if you guys give a nice Boone Open Bible welcome, we're going to welcome the Rasavans right up here.
Thank you, Pastor Jacob, Christina, and I know Pastor Phil and the armies enjoy the warm weather in Florida. And probably feel bad for us, right? Well, first of all, we are just so honored and privileged to be standing before you, really, to share our hearts with you. And we also bring warm greeting from our Open Bible president and his wife, Randall and Baba Bach, and also our new boss now, Global Mission Director Vince McCarty, who happen to be in Florida as well. They're not just have there for fun. They're there for a board meeting. And so we appreciate giving us this opportunity to share our hearts with you. And we pray that God will speak to you in some ways. And again, my name is Mike, and this is my wonderful wife, Dara. We've been married about 30 years now. We just celebrated our 30th anniversary last summer. So praise God that she stayed with me for this long. I'll have her share her life story and about our family a little bit, and then I'll share God's word with you and some of my testimony, and we'll go from there.
Oh, praise the Lord. Again, we just appreciate and thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to come and just share with you what God is doing in our lives. Just wanted to introduce you to our family a little bit. Again, as Mike said, that we just celebrated our 30th anniversary this summer, past summer. So praise the Lord for that. I'll tell you what, it takes a lot of hard work. 30 years, not easy, but, you know, God is good. Without him being in the center of our lives, we would have made it this far. We have two children, Zach and Bella. They both actually graduated from Iowa State. He's a cyclone too. Last night he was screaming all by himself. Anyway, praise God. We were able to raise our family here in the United States. Zach is now graduated from Iowa State and working in California in San Jose. He's been there for 3 years. And he's going to be getting married this August, so right before we leave for the field. Yes, going to be married with a girl from Ames. And our daughter, Isabella, she is also graduated from Iowa State, and now she's working. I don't know if we have freedom for youth here, but she's working as a communication manager at Freedom for Youth. It's a faith-based nonprofit organization. She doesn't make that much money, so she's back living with us at home in the basement. You know how that goes, right? Well, praise the Lord. Again, I came to the United States when I was 13 years old as a refugee with my family. But, you know, that's right after the Vietnam War ended. Do we have any veterans in the house? Or do you know a veteran in your family? Well, thank God. Praise the Lord for veterans. You know, as much as we hate wars, I think most of us do. I don't like war, and a lot of us don't, because war brings pains and sufferings. It separates families and friends. But you know what? God takes what the devil meant for evil and intended for good. Amen? Praise the Lord for that. And he takes what the devil meant for evil, the Vietnam War, and he's turned it around for good. And I truly believe that's the reason why he brought so many Asian, Southeast Asian to United States. In the beginning, you know, I thought, wow, when I look at the picture of America, this is a land filled with milk and honey, if you want to know the truth. America is a land filled with opportunity, with, you know, vast opportunity to go to school, to work, to, you know, make lots of money and have a nice life here. And in the beginning, I thought that God's going to bring us here so we can have that nice life. But you know what? When we got here, our family was sponsored by a church and come to realize the real reason that God brought us here so that we can come to know the truth through his son, Jesus Christ, so that we could be set free. Because he told us that you shall know the truth and you shall be set free. And that's the reason why I believe that God brought us here. And now we know the truth. He wants us to bring this truth that we found in Jesus Christ back to the places that are still living in darkness in Southeast Asia, where their evil still reign, where there are still people are still don't know the true God, so that they could come to know the truth and be set free through the Son, Jesus Christ. Again, just want to say we appreciate the opportunity, and I'll tell you a little bit more of what we'll be doing over there later. And truly appreciate Pastor Phil and Sister Naomi was here. Last time we saw them was several weeks ago in Mexico. And, you know, we had to walk this downtown Tijuana area just so that he can find a gift for his wife. So that's how much he loves her. So give him a hard time when he comes back.
So I learned a few things from Pastor Phil. Yes. Praise the Lord. I'd like to share with you from the Old Testament, the book of Jeremiah, if you don't mind. I'm sure many of you know this passage, the first chapter. This is when the Lord came and spoke to Jeremiah. Jeremiah at this time, he was quite young, a young man in his 20s maybe, early 20s. And this is when God had spoken to him, and this is what he has written down. I'm just going to read from verse 4 through verse 10 only. The word of God said this, that this is what Jeremiah said. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. This passage is very special to me, and I'd like to share with you a little bit later on, and I hope this also will resonate with your own life as well. As Pastor Jacob was reading, my family came to the United States back in 1975, and I was about 14, 15 years old, and didn't know any English, couldn't speak any English, and the first thing is my dad wanted us children to learn English as much as we could, and we came to Iowa in a small town called, I forgot now, what is it, Creston, yeah, Creston, Iowa, how could I forget? Wow, it's so small. And then we heard that Des Moines, First Church of the Open Bible in Des Moines, have brought in many refugees of our people to the church and taught them Bible or English. So we moved to Des Moines after a couple of weeks. Creston about in late November, which is cold. And first time I saw snowflakes, you know, I would run out outside and open my mouth, try to catch it, you know. It was fun, but not anymore. Yeah. But anyway, make a long story short, we began to attend First Church of the Open Bible early 1976. And of course, none of the people, refugees, nobody understood or spoke English or understood the Sunday school lesson. And for a few weeks I went and the First Church tried to figure out what to do with these refugees people. You know, communication was a problem. And then I was in ninth grade, you know, for a few months. The Sunday school teacher just said that we need an interpreter for the class. So he just pointed at me, and I was in the back row. Say, hey, young man, would you come be our interpreter? We need someone to translate the lesson. And at that time, I was probably were able to understand English maybe 30-40% the most. And I figured since nobody understood English, so I might as well I can fake it, right? Yes, that's what I did. That's what I did, because that's the way I learn English fast that way. Even today, I still have a hard time speaking English. Our children always say, Mom and Dad, you have accent. So, I recognize that. But anyway, I hope you understand what I'm saying this morning. So I was called to be an interpreter for our Sunday school class, and it was like 60, 70 people, refugees, family were in the church. Began 76, 77, 78, you know, it come here or go out this side, you know, and come here and go out that side. I didn't understand anything. And I all this time, sometimes I fake it a little bit. And so by 1979, during Easter Sunday, and I know every church should have, Pastor Jacob talking about Easter eggs. Then I didn't know was what it was. I want eggs too, Pastor. And anyway, by that time, 1979, Easter Sunday morning, I finally understood the message of Jesus Christ. I finally understood the love of God for me. I was just like frozen. I didn't know what to say when my time to interpret the message when Christ was crucified and died for our sins. And the first time I understood that, I was frozen. I couldn't say a word. I was just stood there motionless, and people looked at me and what's going on, and tears just ran down my face. I couldn't say a word. And our Sunday school teacher waiting for me to say something. So I turned to him and said, I could not say a word that Jesus Christ died. I just couldn't say it. And I was just bawling and crying. And that moment I finally understood how much God loves me through his son, Jesus Christ. You know, being a Christian and being a follower of Jesus Christ wasn't part of my plan. I was there just to learn English. I made up my mind, I will not be a Christian. I will not believe in these religions, you know. Because my background, I was grew up in indoctrinated in Buddhism, and my family during that time practicing worshiping ancestors, meaning they worship their spirit. That's how I grew up with, and I made up my mind I will not become Christian or even follower of Jesus Christ. But that moment, Easter Sunday morning, 1979, I gave my life to Jesus Christ and never looked back since. Praise God for that. And fast forward, 10 years later, of course, I met my wife, Dara, and we got married right after I graduated from Iowa State in 86. And then in 1999, God called us to plant a church, as Pastor Jacob was reading. We planted a church in 1996, Asian Open Bible Church, now is known as Life Song Church of the Open Bible, which we pastored for 20 years, and we stepped down last May, last year, to become a missionary to Thailand. Until 1997, a year after we planted the church, my parents, the reason this passage meant so much to me, this is what I'm going to share. My parents told me this story, this family secret. They have kept this secret for 37 years. So they never talk about it. And they said, Mike, we want to tell you this. Since you are a pastor, my dad said 37 years ago, when you were inside your mom's womb and when your mom was pregnant, we didn't want you. We didn't want to have you. The reason being this, because back then my mom, like I said, my mom and dad worshiping ancestors. And when my mom was pregnant, she got sick a lot, got sick every day. But that time she already gave birth to 5 children already. She had 5 children with no issue giving birth. But then when my turn came, she got sick a lot. And so she went and consulted with a shaman. In case of you not familiar with who is a shaman is a man who claimed to have power to heal or have a power to communicate with a dead spirit. So my parents went and consulted with him why my mom got sick a lot when she was pregnant with me. So the shaman told them, make long story short, said the child you carry is a bad luck baby, so you need to get rid of this baby, right? So my parents agree. So this shaman made a medicine poison, I guess, for my mom to drink every day for a week so that it will just harm me, you know. Praise God, right? Praise God, didn't work. So obviously it didn't work. I'm here. Yes, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And you know what? What's funny about this, my mom said, you know, Mike, when the time I gave birth to you, you, of all the children I gave birth to, you are the chubbiest baby I ever gave birth to. She said I weighed about 10 pounds, which is a big baby. I mean, Asian baby is really tiny, you know, 3-4 pounds, I don't know. And I figure my hair alone is probably 5 pounds. And you know what? When I thought about it, you know, God has a great sense of humor. You know, the poison that my mom was drinking all this time, God turned it into vitamins. That's why I was so chubby. To give you some visualize, you know, how many of you remember the commercial, the Michelin tires commercial? Yeah, I look like that guy right there. So, you know, God, in the passage is read, God knew you. God knew me before I even was born. And there's 3 things God did. God knew us, God sanctified us, meaning he set us apart. And then he ordained us. He appointed us. I mean, how special is that? How special is that us to God? You know, when I think of myself, I didn't even know the Lord Jesus Christ, but he knew me. I didn't want to follow him, but yet he set me apart. He saved me. You know, I thought being a pastor, I thought that was it. Or even going to church and knowing the truth. I'm just happy as Christian. If I die, I go to heaven, you know. But God has not, it's not done with me. So that's the reason why Dara and I accept this calling to go back to our homeland, which is a very dangerous place still, especially in Vietnam and Laos. For those who fought in Vietnam, well, know that Vietnam is still under communism as well as Laos. We've been to that part of the world a few times, but we have to be very careful. And when we go as, that's the reason why we call ourselves missionary to Thailand. We don't call ourselves missionary to Vietnam or Laos. But our work will be in Vietnam and Laos, and you know how that works. Anyway, people ask us, our people, our church, our congregation, ask us, Pastor Mike, you know, you are our pastor for 20 years. We don't want you to leave. Why would you decide to go? How sure you know that God is calling you to do this, you know? And just to make a long story short, before I have Dara come up to share with you what we are about to do, what I'm going to share with you is what Dara and I is, live by, the principle that God has placed in our heart. I call this God's GPS for us. How many of you use GPS? Praise God. Thank God for GPS, right? I don't know if Pastor Jacob know how to use the map or not. But this generation, you know, anyway, our daughters didn't know how to use map. She says, what is map? Anyway, we use GPS to get to places we want to go, right? But even the GPS that we use sometimes get us to the wrong place, right? Sometimes at the dead end or something. We travel on the east region of Open Bible last fall. We got lost many times even with our GPS. But you know what? In the Bible, our ultimate GPS is our Lord Jesus Christ, right? I mean, He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. So, but the principle that I want to apply to us, our calling is just to have encourage you. Some of you here may be sitting here, may be pondering or wondering what God has planned for your life. You know, what I'm referring to a God's GPS for our life is this. Three principles, very simple one. I'm not going to preach on it. Is this, ask ourselves this question, these three questions. First one is what we are doing right now pleasing to God? That's our G one. Ask ourselves, is what we are doing right now pleasing to God? Secondly, is what we are doing right now helping other people? That's the P part. And before I get to the S part, I'm sure you will figure it out. The Bible told us in Hebrews chapter 12 to tell us to fix our eyes on whom? On Jesus, right? Because He is the author and finisher of our faith. For the joy that sat before Him, He endured the cross and despised the shame. Jesus did everything pleasing to God, right? I mean, when He was on earth, He did everything that He, even to the point, the night before He was to be betrayed, to be crucified, He was praying, Lord, Lord, if possible, remove this cup, I mean, this suffering. But Jesus said, no, this is not my will, but your will be done. Meaning Jesus did everything to please God the Father to the point in suffering. Sometimes when we want to do things to please God, it's not easy. It's not easy. And everything God Jesus did on earth is for you and I. Jesus told his disciple, right? Even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve other people. So our mission is to help other people, whatever we do. And lastly, the S part, Jesus is our ultimate sacrifice. So ask ourselves this, if we are going to do things to please God, to help other people, is what we are doing right now require a sacrifice or surrender? We need to surrender to our Lord. So, with that being said, I hope that our testimony will encourage you in some ways to walk with the Lord, because as Apostle Paul begged the believers in Ephesians, I believe, to walk worthy of God's calling in our life. So whichever calling God has put in your life, we need to walk worthy of that. With that being said, I want my wife to come back to share with you what we are doing, what we will be doing, and what you can be involved with that. And I'm sure you have already been involved in some way already. She will share with you.
Well, praise the Lord. Jennifer, yeah, you can put up. Now, many of you have given to the global mission of the Open Bible. You have, right? And you probably have several years ago given to the Cambodia Project. And you probably didn't even know where the money went or what it, you know, happened to that. Actually, the money that you have given, we built the school. And right now it's we call it the Lifelong Learning Center, which is partnered with Open Bible Churches. We have the school and the housing for short and long-term missionaries there, and also a worship center. And Jennifer, you can go ahead and, keep turning. So at the Lifelong Learning Center, there are, we have up to between 200 to 500 children on a weekly basis that comes to the center to have the after-school program. They have children's church there. We teach English. We, you know, just teach the Bible. And lots of children got saved in that village. It's about 2 hours from the capital city, Phnom Penh. Our missionaries there is actually came from the United States. They were the survival of the killing field. You heard of the killing field from Cambodia? They are a retired couple. They are a self-supported missionary to Cambodia. They are the director now. Just last summer, over 200 children came to know Jesus as the Lord and Savior through the center. So this is where the fund that you have helped went to the Cambodia Center several years ago as you give to the global mission of the Open Bible. Brother Lee there is our director there. He just baptized children on a weekly basis as they come to know the Lord. And lots of good things happening in the village. We have outreach program to the villagers. You know, the main problem in Southeast Asia is still poverty and sex and human trafficking. So our education includes teaching English and also teach and teach the parents on how to prevent the sex and human trafficking for that the children will be lured into this dark business in this area of the world where they actually trade and sell children into prostitution. And sadly, because of poverty, many family members even sell the kids to that without knowing or even realize what they have to go through in that dark business where maybe they come to the village and you know, said, we're going to take your kids or your young people to the city and work, and they can send you money. Had no clues what they would be doing. Maybe they receive, you know, $50, $100 per month, and that's a lot of money over there because the average income for a teacher in Southeast Asia is around between $30 or $40. So if the children goes into the city and actually bring home $50 a month, that's quite a bit of money for them, and maybe they just don't realize what they were doing. So those are the things that you could be praying for, and then we will be also teaching the awareness of the human and sex trafficking in those areas. This is the worship center that just got finished last year, and this is part of your giving too. This building can host up to 1,000 people because when they come into the building, they actually sit on the floor. We sometimes don't use the chairs and tables, so they actually could sit on the floor and they take off the shoes. So we can put a lot of parents and the villagers and the children that come to the worship center and do a lot of activities there. When we were there 2 years ago, we have a chance to walk through the village. And again, the main issue there is poverty. People are still living, you know, back when, I don't know, the houses are made out of bamboo shoots, and you can see through there. This uncle there had been sick, and he actually came to receive Jesus and know Jesus as his Lord and Savior and receive him a month before he passed away. And we had the opportunity to pray with him, and he gave his life to the Lord, and a month later he passed away. So we truly believe that he is with Jesus. And we also, our ministry at the Lifelong Learning Center is we give a uniform once a year to all the children that come through the center. And that's very important to them because they need uniform to go to school. And a lot of time, the uniform will pass on to their siblings. And you can see that little girl, she's probably wearing one of her bigger sister's uniform there that passed on to her, hand-me-down. So that's kind of a little long for her. Those are the daily lives that they do, walking around their dirt road. And then, you know, they live in huts and everything. We do a lot of outreach in the community, in the village, because some of them doesn't have a way to come to the center, and most of them walk or ride the bike, and we also go out to the community in the villages to actually teach English and the Bible in at the homes for those who cannot attend. This is the overall of the center, how kids come after school program. Right after school, they would come, and what we'll do is provide them one meal per day. That is, we do provide breakfast to the preschooler and after school, elementary school and middle school up to high school. They do come after, and they love to learn English. So if you have a short term mission, come over, a team could come and teach English at a center. And the kids just love to come to the center every day when we were there. You know, Sunday school doesn't open until about 8 o'clock, and the kids come like at 5:30. And we thought, why are they doing it so early? And they would be like right before the gate, you know, and say, oh, they come early, and we just let them in. They just love to come and hang out at the center. We also do a lot of outreach in Laos. We will actually be working in 5 different countries. We will live in Thailand, where it's more centralized. We will be working in Thailand, Laos, Vietnam, Cambodia, and Myanmar. Right now, our Lifelong Learning Center in Cambodia is fully finished. What we'll do is use it as a training center where we can bring people who would like to be disciples and be trained to become evangelists or pastors. So we will use the center for that purpose. But otherwise, we will go and outreach and mostly work with kids and in the school and university to teach and train and disciple. This lady here actually used to be my neighbor. My family came to the United States in 1980, and she used to live next door with her children and family, but some of her children had passed away, and I found her because they have relocated them to this area, and then she's living with her granddaughter there, sitting next to her. And, you know, it just make me thinking, this is why Romans 8:28 come to my mind, said, and we know that God works all things together for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. I truly believe that he brought us here for that purpose, so now we can come back and tell the people that we used to know and the people that we don't know, so that they can know this truth. And the living condition seems to go down instead of, you know, getting better. And her living condition was pretty bad and poor, and she was old and frail. And they live in this hut that is really open. And I realized that if we continue to live in that area, we might end up living in that kind of condition. But God has saved us and brought us here. And truly, you know, not only that we have gained the knowledge of the truth, that our life is actually better because we have the living God who is providing for us. This is the church in Thailand that we will be working with, and in the northern part. So this is the group of the people that we will be in contact with. We can go ahead and move. This is the church in Vietnam, and the church in Vietnam, all the registered church has to be under the state church. That means that you have to give your schedule to the government in 1 year of what you're going to be doing, what you're going to be teaching, and you cannot go outside of that realm. So basically, you know, as much as we know, the United States has the freedom of speech, freedom of religion. We can go out on the street and preach Jesus, and nobody would put us in jail. But in Vietnam, if we do that, we could actually be put in jail or maybe even get killed. So those are the kinds of things that is happening over in that area in Laos and Vietnam, where, as Mike mentioned, that is still communism, and it is actually against the law to preach the gospel in that country. That's why they have a lot of the underground church. This is actually my grandmother. Back in 2002, I had the opportunity to go and visit her. My mom has 8 children, and I was so blessed. I'm the only one of her children that get to meet my grandmother. I witnessed to her. You know, she said she received Jesus, but she passed away 5 years after that. I truly believe that she is with Jesus. And So this is my my cousins. They are still, this is in North Vietnam. This is the Thai Dam people. This is the costume. This is how they live their lives. And a married lady would have a bun on her head like that. And, you know, I could imagine if I were still over there and God didn't bring us out here, I'd probably look something like that and never have a chance to meet you. But anyways, it was kind of interesting. And this is a man that is my mom's uncle. My mom actually gave me envelope to give to a few people that are relatives to her, and one of them was for her uncle. And this man actually was he was the high priest of those shaman, the spirit men that Mike was talking about. He actually makes sacrifice once a year as a national sacrifice for the country, but he's been blind for a few years before I went and met him. And that day when I went and looked for him, he happened to be home. He was and his wife supposed to be going out to the field. And when they go to the field, they would stay there for like a week. But that day, God let him stay home. His son and daughter-in-law went to the field. And when I got there, you know, I truly believe that. How many of you believe that God speaks to dreams and vision? I truly believe that. As soon as he felt my hands, I told him who I was. My mom was his niece. And he said, "Are you the messenger that's supposed to send?" You know, it took me a little bit to even think about what he's talking about. And then the Lord just quickened my mind and said, "He has seen a vision." And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Give me the message." And, you know, I thought, this is the opportunity God's given me. And I started telling him about the God who created the heaven and earth, the God who owns the universe, and the God who loves us so much and sent his son to die for us. And whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. And I asked him, I said, "Do you receive the message?" And he said, "Yes, I received the message, and now I can die with my eyes closed." God still speaks through dreams and vision. A year after I came home, he passed away. Today, I truly believe that when we walk that land in North Vietnam and pray, God is going to open up doors for those people to come to know the truth, and they will be set free, just like this man. Praise God for that. You know, one of the things that our Lifelong Learning Center in Cambodia will be doing is receive short and long-term missionaries. God ever speaks to you, please come. It's ready to receive missionaries. Many people have asked us, you know, Mike and Dara, why are you going back to the place where you actually flee from? We actually flee for our lives when we get... When my family came out of Laos, 1979, you know, they were shooting at us. And, you know, we almost died. But I believe that Jesus, God saved us for this reason. And the only thing that I could say is when my family, especially my family and friends, you know, said, "Are you not afraid?" And truly, as a human being, yes, we all have fears. But you know what? The Lord is our light and our salvation. Whom shall we fear? The Lord is the strength of our lives. Who shall we be afraid? I'm not afraid through Jesus. You know, he's the one who gave us the strength. And he gave us that confidence that we are not afraid to go back. Yes, in our human nature, we are afraid. So those are the things that you can do for us. You can pray for us as we go back to these places where it's still danger, where they still persecute Christians. Please keep us in your prayer. We have some prayer cards out there. Please pick one and keep it nearby. When you pray, please remember us. Another thing that you could do for us is, if God speaks to you in any way to support us financially, we would appreciate that. we do need financial support. You can partner with us and go with us financially. You know, you can say, you know, Mike and Dara, that's not our thing. We can't go to Southeast Asia. It's too hard of a work. But you can support us and go with us financially so that we can bring the light into this darkness, this dark world. And the third thing you can do is, like I said, maybe you, your mission department can put together a team, come over for a short mission trip. And that would, you know, I mean, once in a lifetime, we all should take a mission trip to somewhere. And especially if you have the opportunity to go to Southeast Asia, please come. We would love to have you there and show you things that you can do, minister to the people, and just something that, that you can see what God's doing in Southeast Asia. And again, we just want to take this opportunity to say thank you to all of you, and Pastor Phil and Naomi and Pastor Jacob and Christina and all of you, the board members, for allowing us to come and present to you the Fields of Asia. And hopefully one day we will meet again and come visit us in Asia. We will be leaving in September. Thank you. And we have a short video to show you.
All right. We want to thank you guys again for coming here. And actually, if you guys wanted to stand up over here, Christina, will you come over here? In just a second, we're going to give a love offering, so you guys can have that in mind. But almost more importantly than that, we want to pray for them and what they're about to do and where they're going to go and how many lives they're going to touch that we cannot touch here, that they can do that. And so we want to pray for them. So if you just want to reach your arm out to where we're at to just acknowledge that you are acknowledging what I'm going to be praying for these guys. We can just pray for them. God, I just want to pray for Mike and Dara and what they're doing. God, I pray that you would bless them financially, that they would have no worries about what they need for money to do all the work you have for them, God. And I pray that you would keep them safe from all harm, that any danger that they're in, that, God, you would have your hand over them, that you would keep them safe in your arms, God. God, and most importantly, I pray that you would help them to touch so many lives, God, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And, God, you would change lives, and they would be able to get saved, and, God, and make it into your loving arms. And God, I just pray for all the little children and all the kids that they get to touch. God, I pray that they would grow up knowing you and loving you, God, and have a life full of you, God. God, I pray that it all be through Mike and Dara and their ministry and all their team that they have out there. God, and I pray you just bless them abundantly, God. And I pray that you give them everything they need. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Yes. We're going to give a love offering now. And if you guys just, if you don't have any money with you right now, you maybe can use our app. You can give through that. You can designate what you want to do for that. We're going to give our offerings. You guys can go ahead and pass those around to just give, to bless these guys with whatever you can. You know, if it's only a dollar, whatever. Just give whatever you can. Just give joyfully for that. And I pray that you guys would go take one of their cards out there, just to take it and just to have it to remember to pray for them. You know, they have a few things out there you can take, something just to explain what they need financially, other things just how to pray for them, how to give for them. I pray that you guys would check that out or just talk with them and just say, hey, I want to pray for you now, or just, you know, hear their story again more personally. I pray that you would get to know them or take one of those cards for sure to pray for them. But we're just so glad you guys could come here and to just share your story with us, and we can learn about that. It's always good to hear what God is doing in other places that is not here, and so we cannot see so far away. So, yes. After that offering's done, as soon as this offering is done, we're going to be dismissed, and you guys can, you know, talk to these guys. Or if you guys got to get out of here because you're like, oh, it's an hour earlier, then you guys can get out of here and do your stuff. sorry, the offering takes a while, so I gotta wait. If you guys do think about it, I pray that you guys would consider helping these guys financially on a monthly basis. You know, it could be something small, something like that. They have the paper there, so that's how you can support them online, or how to give to them. You're probably even mailing. I hope that you guys would consider that and to give to them. So they can do great things out there in Thailand and Cambodia and all the other places right around there.